Oh, hey, welcome back to another episode of the Super Mercado Bros. Video Game Music Podcast.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. This is the podcast where we share and discuss the very best in video game music. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann.
All of that is true. Today, we have another
Sorry,
Patreon.
Sorry, was I supposed to say something? I'm a little bit rusty.
Everything we've said is true so far. No lies. Today, we're doing another Patreon-suggested episode. Really excited. This is a long overdue one. So thanks for your patience, Stuart. You suggested this topic a long time ago. RTS games is what we're doing today. If anyone doesn't know what that is, most of you probably know, real-time strategy games. It shouldn't be a surprise that there are an abundance of RTS games out there. A lot of great music, a lot of great scores, some, you know, just kind of formulaic stuff, some serviceable stuff. Had to listen to a lot of music today, a lot of stuff we're not able to include. We're only playing 20 tracks, but this is a very solid playlist of RTS game music. And one thing that I was impressed by and maybe surprised by is how emotional and like deep a lot of this music is. Like a lot of orchestral stuff, a lot of sad and somber stuff, a lot of subtle stuff, really, really powerful music here, which for some reason that wasn't what I was expecting when I thought about RTS games. So it definitely feels like it has its own tradition.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm really excited about today's playlist. And, you know, outside of that, it's great to record another episode.
It is. It's been a while.
We're finally back from Europe. We both had these sort of separate little excursions to Germany and Austria and the Czech Republic.
Hopefully you guys enjoyed that Mercado Radio episode last week featuring European composers.
You know, it was kind of sad. I feel like we got a lot of praise for that Mercado Radio episode more than we do for normal episodes. I'm almost like, when we're not there, people are like, oh, you guys are so brilliant. Like, the choice to not talk, it's the best thing you've ever done. I'm just like, oh, okay, we'll just shut up.
Well, part
up
of
now.
It, I think part of it is just the fact that we still release an episode
God,
when we're out of
we're
town.
Such heroes. I mean,
I think maybe that's what people appreciate more than anything, but it is a nice change of pace every once in a while just to have a nonstop collection. But then you don't hear our lovely voices, so hopefully you guys miss those lovely voices.
Yeah.
Let's get into the music here. We have a lot of great stuff to get to. What you guys heard up top was the wonderful Jeremy Soule. We're going to hear a lot of him today. He did a lot of great orchestral work for RTS games. That was from Total Annihilation, which in my research this past couple weeks seems to be one of the most beloved soundtracks as far as RTS goes. Total Annihilation, that was the introductionary theme, once again, composed by Jeremy Soule. Let's keep going. We're going to move on to Warcraft 2, Tides of Darkness.
Well, just sort of in time for that new Warcraft movie that just opened on
absolutely.
Friday.
Absolutely. Warcraft 2, this was composed by Glenn Stafford, a veteran of Blizzard. Let's take a listen to the main theme of this game. Here we go. You guys are listening to the main theme of Warcraft 2, Tides of Darkness, composed by Glenn Stafford. What I like about this track is it's very clear when this was released. Obviously, if you listen to the sounds of it, sounds like that kind of 90s MIDI. This came out for the PC in the mid-90s, and that's kind of what this sounds like. But compositionally, I don't think you get this type of melodic orchestral writing that much these days in games. So that's why I really happen to enjoy this piece of music, because it feels 90s to me.
Dude, me too. It really reminds me of Wing Commander. I don't know, just the combination of that general MIDI sound with really great, you know, older era film music style writing that's, you know, very unabashedly melodic. The it's melody solid. Itself and the piece itself kind of reminds me sort of something like LeChuck's theme from Monkey Island, just because there's almost like a swashbuckling flavor to it, which I think also this type of music, you know, especially after something like Pirates of the Caribbean or, you know, even Gladiator or stuff, that kind of more demonic, big orchestral sound sort of has this association to sea and pirates and everything for me. Maybe that's why it reminds me of
I think
LeChuck's
that's totally
theme,
true.
It's a great melody.
One thing that I think is so interesting about today is because of this focus on RTS games, what that really means is it's basically another episode of computer music.
Sure.
Because almost every game today is a computer game, and almost every game today features Western composers. I think there's only one example of a Japanese composer today. So it's kind of like we're doing a focus on Western composers again this week, and we're also doing a focus on computer music, even though it's RTS.
Gosh, this is really a wonderful theme.
Isn't it good?
You know what's so cool, though, is this is a type of piece that could almost only work in an RTS game, I feel like, in terms of being used as background score. You know, in an action game, something like this wouldn't quite fit the bill for, I think, the intensity.
Sure.
I mean, I think you could maybe have if there was some sort of cutscene that really fit the tone. But what's great about an RTS game is oftentimes the gameplay is less intense than what it's representing, you know? So you're able to take time and sort of make decisions at a little bit more of a leisurely pace. It's more conceptual. It's often, you know, it's something like chess or something. But what that gameplay is representative of, you know, like what your actions mean in the kind of world of the game are obviously much more epic. And I think it's a great vehicle for music because it just gives the music a little bit more of the audience's attention since it's not so action packed. It's not about making a bunch of choices in a really small amount of time. It's about kind of soaking in the atmosphere of the world while making these sort of cerebral
decisions. I think that's
decisions.
True for a lot of the music we're going to hear today. I think that's a great point, and maybe one of the reasons why the music sounds the way it does. So that's a very good point, Will.
Yeah, that's such a good melody.
Great melody there. A lot of good melodies today. So far we've had two American composers. I think we're going to continue with another team of American composers for Age of Mythology, the next game we're going to feature.
I remember this game. I had a friend who owned this.
I also had a friend. I remember playing some of this game at his house. My friend Michael. This is the main theme of this game. It's called A Cat Named Mittens. That's the name of the main theme for Age of Mythology, okay? It's composed by Stephen Rippey and Kevin McCullen. Let's take a listen to the main theme from Age of Mythology. That's how you do it, folks. That is the main theme from Age of Mythology. It's called A Cat Named Mittens. I have no idea why, but that's what it's called. Composed by Stephen Rippey and Kevin McCullen. That's how you do it. You know what's so interesting is when you think about PC games, they had, you know, ratio-wise, so much more orchestral scores than any other genre of video games. It feels like almost every RTS game that I looked into had a real orchestra doing the music, which is, you know,
a real live orchestra.
Real live orchestra. This came out, I think, in the mid-2000s. But even going back to that Total Annihilation track, that was much earlier. And, you know, there were a lot of games in the 90s that even had, and even if it's not real, like, you know, as far as like the genre of music, almost all of it today is orchestral.
Sure. You know what's kind of interesting? this particular recording isn't the best engineered thing in the world. But what I just think is so funny is that even sort of, I don't want to say poorly engineered, but, you know, not just a not super polished recording of an actual orchestra to me is still 10 times better than a really polished, modern sounding mix
hear the
of
performance,
virtual instruments.
The emotion comes across so clearly. You don't have to use your imagination at all. Yeah. I think this is a pretty decent recording here. I mean, I think it is worth noting, you know, when it came out, you know, it's not a 2015 title or anything like that.
Well, I also imagine that it was, relatively sort of cheaper orchestra, cheaper kind of
probably.
Recording, and it sounds a little bit compressed to me is the other
thing. I think most of the orchestras you're going to hear today are kind of, you know, cheaper orchestras.
Well, because that's what's sort of interesting. I think now, not just that video games probably garner a bit more respect, but also, you know, they have larger
budgets
where
yeah.
they can afford, you know, using like the London Symphony Orchestra or using these really high caliber Los Angeles session musicians.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think part of that, I've heard from different composers that the rise of Skype and things like that make it possible for people to just sit in on
sure.
a session in Australia
yeah,
or
like the
London
Melbourne
or whatever,
Symphony
you know?
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that stuff makes it possible. Now we're going to move on. We have to feature a track from this series, Command and Conquer. That was one of the things that obviously not only Stuart, but a lot of people have suggested over the years. We've played, I think, one or two tracks from this series before. I've played this series. This is another game that one of my friends had. Really, really, really popular. We're going to play a track from Command and Conquer Red Alert 3. That's what we chose today. And we're going to play the track. It's kind of a nice rock, almost kind of bordering on metal song called Red Rock for Mother Russia. And this was composed by James Hannigan and Frank Klepacki. Here we go. Awesome. You guys are listening to Red Rock for Mother Russia. This is from Command and Conquer Red Alert 3 for the PC, of course, composed by James Hannigan and Frank Klepacki. Frank Klepacki, I know he's done work for the series, multiple entries in this series. I think this is a really cool rock song, very heavy, really solid riffs, good playing. It is kind of self-explanatory. There's not really necessarily a lot you really need to say about this track.
Well, I do think that's also sort of because it's hitting the nail on the head. I think it's going for something really specific. And I mean, just for instance, like the guitar tone that they're getting.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's a legit metal song. I mean, nothing about this feels like it's a game composer trying to do that.
Oh yeah, not at all. I think the other thing that's been sort of interesting for me on this episode, I mentioned it a little bit a few tracks ago, but just sort of the context of an RTS game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if I were to just hear this piece on its own and imagine its context in a video game,
mm-hmm.
my mind would probably go to very different places than the nature of the type of gameplay, just like literally what you're inputting when you're playing a game like this.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it contextualizes the music in a different way, and it makes me realize that I think a lot of the function of this music was to sort of immerse you in the world. Because I think there's many different types of video games, and I think a lot of video games try to immerse you in the world through the mechanics. So it just feels so fluid, as if, you know, your character is an extension of yourself. But then there's other types of games that, to me, are a little bit more like board games almost. They're
mm-hmm.
like board games come to life. And that's, I think, more of like what an RTS is, where the actual interfacing of the mechanics is not necessarily about immersing you. It's just about the fun inherent in those mechanics. Mm-hmm. And then the other elements, like the graphics, the music, the story, the art, everything.
The dialogue, the
sound
effects.
That kind of immerses you into the world. And it makes us think a little bit differently about
the function
of music.
When you think about the function of an RTS game, music isn't going to be as specifically scoring as like an action game where there's a specific moment.
Sure.
Because it has to just keep going, and you don't know really at any given time what the player's doing.
Well, and to me, this music and a lot of the stuff we've heard also feels like it's meant to be either empowering mm-hmm. to the player or kind of the opposing enemy force to sound intimidating.
Right.
But in a little bit of a different way, you know, an action game, I think part of the empowering aspect of it has to do with the rhythmic nature, the kind of fast-paced, you know, when we think about a lot of old-school video game music that rocks and how it's fairly up-tempo, I think that aspect of it can't really be overlooked. I mean, obviously we talk about how catchy it is and how great the melodies are. Mm-hmm. I think that has to do more with it being memorable and fun, but I think the empowering aspect of it being functional in an action game has to do a lot with the tempo.
And that's something that...
And all these pieces we've heard are a little bit, you know, slower. Something like this is still very badass, but
it's almost
it's
more
not
badass
up-tempo.
That it's this slow. And when I think about the Command & Conquer series, it's known for having these really rocking themes that make you feel badass.
Yeah.
So that's like a huge part of the enjoyment of the series. So now we're going to move on to something very different. Not surprisingly, it's the one lone entry Japanese game. This is Pikmin. Obviously came out for the GameCube. Real-time strategy game here. Composer is Hajime Wakai. Kind of interesting soundtrack, not something I would choose to listen to really on my own. We'll play this track. It's
the
pretty
Pikmin
effective.
Games are great though.
Yeah, and the music is definitely servicing the experience. It's a little bit, I guess, maybe more background oriented. Let's take a listen to a track called "The Forest of Hope," once again composed by Hajime Wakai. Yeah, I guess quirky maybe is one way to describe that. Interesting. This is "The Forest of Hope" from Pikmin, composed by Hajime Wakai. I'll be the first to admit, if it wasn't for this particular topic and trying to service this topic, I don't think I would have ever chosen this series. Not a big fan, really, of the music. I think it does service the game experience for sure. But really weird. Well, let's talk about some of the musical things we heard here. What was the weirdest thing to you that you heard in this track?
The melody, honestly. It's just... I know you're probably expecting me to say some of the weird instrument choices, and you have the
helicopter
piano
strings
in its lower register. Yeah, those bad tremolo-sounding strings. But honestly, it's just some of the other musical choices to me that feel sort of uninspired, mm-hmm. particularly considering, you know, Hajime Wakai is a fantastic composer who has a really good track record.
You can tell there's a specific tone that
I
he's
think
going
also
for
the Pikmin
game.
Games are so imaginative. It you know, mm-hmm. to get kind of a new creative conceptual idea from Miyamoto in sort of a more recent mm-hmm. Idea by him, the Pikmin games are so creative, and it's fun to see Nintendo really exploring a new genre, which would be RTS for them, something they hadn't done before, and really in such a Nintendo way make it feel also simple and elegant and fun. I really do feel like one of the weakest links for those games is the music, that there's not really Yeah, there's not really a lot of memorable themes, and I think it probably does capture the emotions.
Do you think there would have been room for there to be more kind of specifically melodic?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the games in general, they, from like an emotional aesthetic level, aren't all that different from other Nintendo series. I think it really lacked sort of a clear stylistic discussion, honestly, from the first entry. And I think all the games have decent scores, but there's not really that sort of focused direction where, you know, oh, we're working on a Zelda game. Well, right. It needs to sound like this. Well, Metroid, it sounds like this. Mario sounds like this.
Pikmin doesn't quite have that.
Sort of obscured. Even the Animal Crossing games, I feel like there's much more direction in terms of like what the music needs to sound like. Pikmin, not so much.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's an interesting change of pace, though. Definitely, if you're having an episode on RTS music, it totally makes sense to have a Pikmin track. So we're going to move on to Civilization 5. And the Civilization series just has exquisite music. A lot of it is licensed. A lot of it is music from either classical composers or even a lot of production companies. They will outsource and use music here and there. That's the case with this track we're going to play. It's called Europe Ellipse, and it was composed by a French composer. I actually had to track this down. It took me some time to track it down. His name is Jérôme Collet. He's a French composer. Works for, I can't remember the name of production company.
Production music house, yeah.
Yeah, so let's take a listen to this beautiful track called Europe Ellipse from Civilization V. That piece of music. What a strong melody. Very tragic stuff. The name of this piece of music is Ellipse, and it was composed by Jérôme Collet. It's featured in Civilization V in the Europe portion of this game.
I really like how sort of contrapuntal a lot of the
Isn't
stuff is in
that
it's
I knew you'd like that.
It's utilizing sort of a small ensemble orchestra. It's sort of sounding almost more like a string quartet and quintet at times.
Now, isn't it funny, Will, the production of this is probably maybe the most polished of what we've heard so far, and it, when it was recorded, didn't have a specific home at all.
Right.
But a lot of times that production music has just amazing production values.
Well, I think it was a really good choice for the Civilization games because it's obviously, again, an economic thing. You know, it's
much
cheaper for them
to
license.
Well, to be fair, they don't license everything.
Sure.
They feature a main composer maybe recording a handful of tracks.
Right, but I think to them, you know, you have a limited budget, so I think you could either have all original music that sounds sort of like general MIDI, or you could have music that sounds polished and sophisticated from production house. Honestly, even though I'm a composer, if I were a game developer right now, or a filmmaker, anything, I would definitely make use of a lot of production music because honestly, I think there's some incredible stuff out
there
that is either
just
not
sitting
being,
there.
Yeah, that's not being used in really specific kinds of things. I mean, honestly, especially now, I mean, those libraries are so vast. Any type of score that you would want, you could probably find on a library like that. And honestly, some of it might be better than if you were to hire a composer to create original music.
Absolutely. I think there is a lot of truth to that. Well, now we're going to move on. Let's see what we have next. Gosh, I'm a really big fan of some of the music we're going to get to later on. I'm excited for not only Will, but for a lot of you to hear this stuff. This is interesting. Another very popular game that I ran into while I was researching was Homeworld. So we're going to feature a track from Homeworld, and some of that soundtrack features licensed music as well. This is an example of that. I couldn't pass this up. This is Agnus Dei, which is a choral arrangement of Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings.
Yeah, it's actually an arrangement he made himself.
Correct. And so this is a recording. I don't have information on the particular recording. The recording sounds a little bit compressed, but it is the version used in Homeworld, so I thought it's important to use this recording.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very beautiful piece of music. Let's take a listen to Agnus Dei. You guys are listening to Agnus Dei, which was composed by Samuel Barber, and it's
God,
a choral arrangement.
I never thought we'd be playing a Samuel Barber piece on the podcast.
It's an arrangement of his Adagio for Strings, by far his most famous work. This is from Homeworld, and it's a space kind of simulation slash real-time strategy game. How perfect is this type of music for that? When you think about the vastness of space, I even think the quirkiness of this recording, how it is like extra reverberant and extra ethereal, probably works perfectly for this
Absolutely.
Game.
I mean, the thing is, when it comes to Agnus Dei versus Adagio for Strings, I definitely go with Adagio for Strings.
I mean,
that's what he originally conceived it for, and I don't think you can beat sort of the timbre and expressivity of strings. But for something like this, the quality of the human voice definitely makes it, it gives it a little bit more pathos, I think, to the player. The other thing, though, I just want to talk about this piece because
we get to actually.
Yeah, the Adagio for Strings. I think it's one of my favorite instrumental works in the entire 20th century.
Absolutely, I think a lot of people would agree with that as far as 20th century goes.
Because I don't know, I've probably been a little bit vocal about this before, but there's a lot of music in the 20th century that I'm not so crazy about, and I think a lot of it comes down to either too atonal or avant-garde or experimental for me.
Well, nothing about Adagio for Strings sounds particularly 20th century to me.
But it's also not like neoclassical. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just it's something that couldn't have existed before the 20th century. Mm-hmm. It's utilizing modern harmonies in an incredibly profound way. I mean, I think it was used...
But I think in a way that's also respectful to traditions as well.
Yeah, and very responsive to sort of the natural musical forces. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the modulations and the chords that it leads to don't have a, I guess, 18th century precedent, but they're still kind of responsive to like tendency tones and going where you
want.
Well,
yeah, and you know, as far as talking about this choral arrangement, obviously a beautiful piece of music, beautiful arrangement. The recording here isn't ideal as far as dissecting it musically. It's kind of hard to hear. It's kind of jumbled.
Right.
It's a little bit muddled. There's actually, we noticed some intonation issues with this choir. Some of the soprano voices felt like maybe their entrances were a little bit shaky.
Yeah,
so I don't really have any information on this choir, to be honest.
It was funny. I actually did this piece with my college choir last year. And
we should have used that recording.
I remember just being a really powerful experience making it all the way through a piece like this.
So you can actually speak with authority on maybe how they're performing it here.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think we definitely took it a little bit slower. In all the recordings I've ever heard of Adagio for Strings, it's always been
slower.
I mean, it's Adagio, so I think going too fast sort of defeats the purpose.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to move on now to a Genesis soundtrack. You know, I tried to do some research into finding some very early examples of RTS games, maybe games that kind of were predecessors to RTS. This is a game called Herzog Spy, and we're going to play a track called Sniper. It was composed by Nosuke Arai. Let's take a listen. What an interesting change of pace, especially coming from that Adagio track. This is Sniper from Herzog Spy. The composer here is Nosuke Arai. This is for the Sega Genesis, a very early example of an RTS game. We're going to play another game later that's, I think, even earlier than this. This is early 90s, so maybe 91, if I'm not mistaken. So, Will, what do you think about this?
I really like the bass. Oh, gosh, this just feels classic. It's my first time listening to it. But yeah, especially just context going from that last piece into this, I just feel like really proud of video game music and
how
it's able to stand up with classical music.
You know how I said it was early 90s? I kind of questioned myself because I was listening to it and I was like, the use of drums feels like really early Genesis. It is early. This is 89, actually.
Ah.
This came out in 1989, a super early Genesis track. You can hear that because the use of the drums are very minimal. And they're not really using the PCM samples. And that's something you would hear more and more in kind of the heyday of the Genesis. But with these early soundtracks, you do hear a lot of stuff like that where the drums are, you know, almost non-existent.
Really.
Yeah,
you talk about the 80s or 90s as being old. You know, it's an experience that was kind of profound for me. And I know you and I talk about this, Carl. When we were in Europe, just all the different places we were have such a, not only a rich history, but such an old history. I mean, standing in front of buildings and monuments that go back to, you know, 900 AD a lot of the times, and
pretty
something's
crazy.
Older than that. In that, to people living there, something, you know, built in the 1500s is new, where to us in America, you know, something
1989 is pretty old.
Well, I mean, especially if you're looking at video game music, I mean, it's such a new medium,
right?
And we can just kind of fall under the forgetfulness that, you know, just because a human lifetime is so short,
I wonder what video game music would have sounded like in 900 AD.
Probably would have, yeah, it would have sounded chant like.
I think mostly
like
death metal is what I would expect it to sound like. All right, now we're going to move on to a beautiful piece of music by Jeremy Soule.
There's a lot of similarities between metal and medieval music,
I think. There is, actually, with some of the harmonies.
A lot of parallel fifths and a lot of kind of cool modal stuff.
Absolutely. Rockin' riffs.
Dude, have you actually... speaking of that, there's a lot of really cool... because oftentimes, you know, when you take a music history class, you focus almost exclusively on like sacred music for that early stuff, but there's a lot of really cool like secular dance music from the medieval times that is really awesome and almost it's kind of like their version of pop music.
Sure. Yeah, I know. I've heard a lot of that stuff.
Really interesting.
That's a nice rabbit hole to go down for sure.
Absolutely.
Let's move on to, like I said, another beautiful piece of music by Jeremy Soule, and it's not the last time we'll hear from him today. This is Company of Heroes, and we're going to play a track. This is British England's Knockin' from Company of Heroes.
Thank you.
You guys are listening to England's Knockin' from Company of Heroes, composed by Jeremy Soule. Very active piece of music. I'm a really big fan of this. This is very reminiscent. I kind of hear some John Williams in as far as maybe how active and melodic this piece of music is. And
well, and sort of like the European, Germanic quality in a lot of
he's had to do that so many times
exactly.
in his movie work.
I mean,
so,
even the bum-bum, bum, yeah, that
kind of indie.
And a lot of the orchestration choices feel very much in that vein as well. I mean, the use of the glockenspiel and some of the woodwinds.
Yeah, but I was particularly inspired when I was checking the soundtrack out, Company of Heroes. It felt like Jeremy Soule was going for a very specific sound, and it's not just maybe his normal style. It was something that he was trying to specifically nail a different kind of aesthetic, and I think he did a wonderful job. I can really tell that this was a soundtrack that he put a lot of effort into, because every track that I checked out really kind of nailed the aesthetic perfectly. And I could have played honestly four or five pieces from this game, because they're all really good. And if I'm not mistaken, this is another game that Stuart wanted us to look into. So yeah, Company of Heroes, really good stuff from Jeremy Soule. Okay, so it looks like I lied. There's one more Japanese composer today. This is the last one. This is a Sega Saturn game called Dragon Force. We're going to play Battle for the Castle, composed by Tatsuyuki Maeda. Here we go. You guys are listening to Battle for the Castle. This is from the Sega Saturn game Dragon Force, which is RTS. This is composed by Tatsuyuki Maeda, who did a lot of work on the Sega, on the Sonic series. Will, what do you think about this track? It's quite different from what we've heard today, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if it sounds like anything, it's kind of like that Warcraft 2 piece, just I guess in terms of the sort of general MIDI quality.
Some of it reminds me of Pokemon for some reason. Maybe some battle music for Pokemon. Am I just imagining things?
I think you're just imagining things. I mean, honestly, the kind of shuffle feel of it, it definitely puts in mind a lot of old school video game music. You know, I've actually been thinking just as sort of a palate cleanser lately, because I've been doing so much orchestral stuff that I kind of want to do, you know, what 8-bit like chiptune, and I've been thinking of doing some kind of like rocking shuffle.
You should do it, man. Absolutely. Yeah. Maybe prepare it for the next OG episode.
Yeah, that's kind of what I had in mind.
Cool. Well, guys, I'm very excited to move on to this week's track of the week. This was another soundtrack that was brought to our attention by Stuart, and I really enjoyed this soundtrack. It's Stronghold for the PC, and it was composed by Robert Uevino, and we're going to play for track of the week Castle Jam. It's a really awesome kind of medieval, really jam. It's just really awesome playing here, really catchy piece of music. I just really enjoy listening to this. So let's take a listen to Castle Jam from Stronghold. Thank you. God, that's great. I love this. This is Castle Jam from Stronghold. This is amazing. This is composed by Robert Uivino. And what's so impressive to me is that this is an original piece of music. It's not an actual medieval piece of music, but you could have fooled me. I mean, this is so catchy and fun, and it nails the aesthetic for this game. But I just think that everything about it, the arranging, the composition, the performance, the contrapuntal nature of it, it's very, very well done and just enjoyable music to listen to.
Yeah, like, I mean, honestly, it's funny. We were just having that conversation about old medieval secular music, but that's what it sounds like. And it has such a almost a connective lineage to more modern folk music and rock and metal.
Yeah.
I think a lot of rock and metal does try to capitalize on almost like a Gaelic Celtic quality, which is probably a reason why, but I do think it's cool to sort of look back to the past for inspiration. It almost also sounds to me like a sea shanty.
Yes.
It reminds me a lot of a piece in, I think it's Monkey Island 4, the
I think that is Monkey Island 4. Yeah, absolutely. Isn't this just perfect? I don't know. I just think for this kind of music, you can't get much better than this.
I mean, I really think Castle Jam is the perfect title.
Love
it,
really
it
is so
a jam.
All right, now we're going to move on to a piece of music from Civilization 4. And, you know, one of the choices of Track of the Week was, if possible, to pick an original piece of music. I think it's a little bit better than picking a licensed piece of music. If I were going to pick a licensed piece, it's possible this would be a good choice, too. Really beautiful piece of music composed by the Italian composer Gregorio Allegri. And this piece was most likely composed in the 1630s. It's called Miserere. It's a really beautiful choral piece of music, again licensed from Civilization 4. Enjoy. This is incredibly gorgeous. Oh my gosh, I'd love if we get to play this music on the podcast. Thanks so much, Stuart, for this idea. This is Miserere, composed by Gregorio Allegri. It was written in the 1630s and under the reign of Pope Urban VIII, and this was performed first in the Sistine Chapel, which I think is pretty
pretty
awesome.
Pretty dope gig.
It's a pretty dope venue,
bro.
Well, I really, really love how all the parts work together. It's just that awesome kind of Renaissance
polyphony.
That, sound.
Yeah, the Renaissance was sort of almost the epitome of the old style of sacred music. Yeah, I'm with you, man. Renaissance music is so beautiful. One of my favorite things, and
almost
it's
the
sort
most
of,
beautiful of anything.
Yeah, it's really capitalized in this piece here, kind of the juxtaposition of the monophonic chant, you know, when it's just completely in unison, almost just on one pitch for most of it, and with this beautiful kind of eruption of polyphony and harmony.
That's great.
It's really gorgeous. I think the other thing that's why I think a lot of people like the Renaissance is the Baroque era is all about counterpoint in a very sort of structured, ordered type of polyphony and harmony. But what's cool is the Renaissance, harmonically, it still has a bit more attachment to the modes and the older style of harmony.
Well, that's why the Baroque era was such a fun kind of change of pace, and it was felt like this exciting exploration into new territories.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you think about the Renaissance, not just in music, but in all forms of art, the music is really sort of reflecting that school of thought and this idea of just an abundance of knowledge and learning and... I mean, it just must have been such an exciting time to be alive. And I think that sort of buoyancy and that willingness to live that is so vastly different from the kind of medieval conception of life. Mm-hmm. I think that's so reflected in the music, and it's a reminder that when we create, we inevitably are a reflection of the time in which we live. Mm-hmm. And whether we're consciously doing it or not, all of the philosophies that we hold are embodied in our
music. That's what's so great, that this music has lived on. We haven't lost it. We can listen to this music from the 1630s today, and we can get a little glimpse into maybe what the world was like.
Absolutely. And almost just, again, I mean, we talked about Adagio for Strings sort of being emotional and connecting to mm-hmm. pathos. But, you know, it's all the same thing. I mean, in a few hundred years, that Adagio for Strings track will be looked at as really old and kind of expressing something about the 20th century. So I think we're all lucky to live in the time that we do, because we're expressing something that in the future might not be around anymore.
You know, that reminds me,
it might have a connection to someone else's humanity.
Kind of reminds me of Midnight in Paris, some of the themes in that movie.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, okay, now we're gonna move on to something very different. Good palate cleanser here. This is from League of Legends, very popular game. The soundtrack was composed by Christian Linke, and we're gonna play a track called Bit Rush, which is a chiptune. Here we go. This is pretty badass. You guys are listening to Bit Rush from League of Legends. Very unique. The rest of the soundtrack doesn't sound like this. Composed by Christian Linke. I think this is really cool. I'm a really big fan of the more modern drums mixed in with the chip sounds. I think very good writing. You know, I keep hearing like really good counterpoint today. There's actually some nice counterpoint in this piece of music. Very thoughtful harmonies. I enjoy this. I think this is much more crafted than your typical modern chiptune, I guess I'll say.
Totally. Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, a lot of my friends are super into League of Legends, and I've always been sort of curious about the mm-hmm. music, because, you know, you hear a little bit about it, and I think there's been, you know, tons of different composers who've worked on League.
And for the life of me, I don't know the context of this, why this was written. Maybe it was mm-hmm. for some expansion or something.
Or maybe even for, like, a soundtrack.
Could be. I know there are some actual proper songs for League of Legends, like with vocals and stuff.
Sure. Well, there's a composer that I'm a really big fan of who is one of the founders of that company I was telling you about, CineSamples, that make these incredible orchestral virtual instrument libraries that not only sound really good, but are very easy to use. And I really like their business philosophy. And mm-hmm. Michael Patti is the name of the composer. He's done some stuff for League of Legends, but he's like a fantastic composer in addition to, you know, all mm-hmm. that virtual instrument stuff.
Good. He's in a lot of good work.
So I know there's a lot of really talented people that work on those games.
Well, now we're going to move on to Warcraft 3, Reign of Chaos. Very big game. I remember when this came out, a lot of people were super into it. Who would have thought that it wouldn't even be as big as World of Warcraft eventually when that came out? That just pretty much changed the world. I mean, everybody and their brother was playing that game, but
except you and I.
I played a little bit of it. Warcraft 3.
What are you talking about? You didn't
I didn't
World
own it, but I played it at my friend's house for there
World
was,
of Warcraft.
Yeah, there was one night where we were.
God, you're such a dork.
Playing it for like 5 hours.
Well, I can't be friends with you anymore.
But to be fair, I think I've played it a total of 5 hours. That was like the one time I played it. Okay, Warcraft 3. We're gonna play a track called Human. And this soundtrack was composed by Derek Duke and Glenn Stafford. Very tragic, beautiful piece of music. Here we go. word of warning for you guys, we have quite a bit of somber emotional music coming up in the last half of this playlist here. Whew. This is Human from Warcraft 3 Reign of Chaos, composed by Derek Duke and Glenn Stafford, very popular Blizzard composers here. Yeah, I mean, this is actually kind of par for the course when it comes to modern RTS games, which I still am surprised that this is the kind of music that you hear in a lot of these games. I'm glad because it's very good. And I guess for some reason, I had this preconceived notion that the music of RTS games would be less, I guess, engaging, maybe just on a listening level, but that's definitely not the case. I don't know. I think this is very quality game music.
Absolutely. I agree. You know, it's fun getting all this either orchestral or stuff that's just kind of taking us through a time machine through music history.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, this is absolutely not what I expected for this episode. So let's keep going.
Is a lot of fun. We're going to play another track from Total Annihilation. We opened up with a track from that. We'll play another one composed by Jeremy Soule. I would say, in my experience researching, the most beloved RTS soundtrack, so we're playing two tracks. This one is called The March Onto Death. Gorgeous piece of music. Wonderful playing here. Another example of early orchestral music. This came out in 1997 for the PC, so very impressive to have real orchestra. Total Annihilation, composed by Jeremy Soule. He was being a badass long before I think people knew he was such a badass.
This is just such wonderful
music. Oh, it's so good. Yeah, this is The March Onto Death, and I love the European influence, but it also feels modern. This game is actually a futuristic kind of war game. So this music might lead you to believe this World War II, but it's not World War II.
Yeah, it's just absolutely exquisite. It has great melodic material. It's very rhythmic and forceful. Gosh, those wonderful kind of almost harmonic tapestries, those kind of planing parallel chords that feel very like John Williams-y.
I love the brass writing in particular on this track.
The brass writing career. I'm really a fan of all the kind of busy, flurrying stuff that's happening in the strings. Again, it feels very learned, very much
of
the film music symphonic tradition.
This is one of Jeremy's first scores he ever did, maybe like the first or second or third. And he had chops to begin with. I mean, this is, I think, one of his best works. I mean, this is just amazing.
Well, I think it's why his work on the Elder Scrolls series feels like it has a bit more worth to it than I guess other pieces, other scores done in that style, in that
genre. There's a lot of them out there.
Because I don't know, I don't mean to sound like pompous or something, but from coming from a composer like this who seems just very intelligent, you know, he's writing very sophisticated music. A lot of the music in the Elder Scrolls game, I think, is a bit more rhythmic and primal. I don't mean necessarily simple, but just in kind of a more modern orchestral style. Mm-hmm. But I think when a really thoughtful, intelligent composer goes to making music like that, I think they're bringing with them all of their knowledge and understanding and intimacy with the orchestra and all the different groups of the orchestra and how mm-hmm. to get specific sounds. So I think a lot of times, you know, no matter what kind of music Jeremy is making, it's always going to be very interesting from a myriad of different levels. You know, I'm so used to also hearing Jeremy soul music where we kind of marvel at the quality of the production and how he makes his virtual instruments sound like the real thing. So used to it that actually, in fact, for a bit of this piece, I was wondering like, oh, is this virtual instruments or is it just...
It's real,
it's,
folks.
It's so hard to tell because his stuff always sounds so good.
Yeah, 1997 here. Now we're going to move on to another wonderful American composer, Chris Velasco, and he did Company of Heroes 2. And this is a very, just hitting the nail on the head, World War II sound here. It's Western Front Army's theme from Company of Heroes 2. Beautiful stuff. Let's take a listen. Another impeccable piece of music, this time composed by Chris Velasco. Outstanding job, Chris. This is from Company of Heroes 2. It's Western Front Army's theme. I love the fake out. You know, he starts off with this kind of by the books, very distant snare drum sound, which feels like definitely something for a war, distant little lone trumpet. And then he brings it in with this close mic'd string ensemble sound and then kind of expands it again later. Really gorgeous writing. It's just so beautiful. It's cool that this, I'm proud to say this is video game music. I'm proud to be able to talk about music that's this well thought out on this podcast. This has been a day of pretty outstanding music, I'll say.
Absolutely. And it just sort of reaffirms one of really the principal truths, one of kind of the, I guess you could say, driving forces of this podcast in general, which is to shine a light on not just the incredible music that's being written for games, but the validity of video games as an art form mm-hmm. and video game music as a means of emotional expression. I've talked before about some of the incredible fan mail we've gotten, or, you know, really nice words of support from all of you guys. And among some of the nicest things we've heard are stories of people sort of using our podcast as a means to give validity to the music that they like that may not always be viewed with kind of this
the
cultural
same lens
acceptance.
That we do,
yeah. This idea of like, oh, this isn't real music or this isn't serious music. And I hate the idea of serious music that like somehow this stuff is more artistic and
right.
this is just fun.
It's very
and
juvenile.
This is fluffy.
Yeah.
It's very juvenile. It completely misses the point. I think good music is good music, and I think
amen to that.
Yeah, an episode like today just kind of really gives some perspective on, you know, the vast scope of this medium, and even in its relatively short lifespan, you know, we have that stuff like Genesis and all this great orchestral music.
Well, we have a few more to go, so don't give up quite yet, folks. This is a game called The Settlers, and it's a really early Amiga game. It was composed by Marcus Klutzewait, and we're going to play the main theme from The Settlers. Another very strong melody here. You guys are listening to the main theme from The Settlers. This is an Amiga game composed by Marcus Klutzuweit. This is a really solid melody. You know, it's kind of that genre that we've heard a lot today. This feels fairly medieval to me. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the world that was established maybe in that Castle Jam piece of music. And honestly, even something like maybe that Warcraft 2 a little bit. It's a good melody.
Yeah, part of it, to me, I don't know, reminded me of like a haunted carnival or something.
Really?
I think sometimes those, you know, more primitive video game synths bring with it this kind of, I don't know, a little bit of a different context sometimes.
Because it's like a little bit spooky, but it's on like a synth, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It almost reminded me of The Benefit of Mr. Kite or something like that.
I could see that.
Just like all those kind of that fun, playful music in like a triple meter that uses those kind
sure.
of synths.
Dun, 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 dun,
yeah, it just yeah. I don't know, something about it feels it's always gonna feel like a spooky carnival or something.
Well, we can't let you guys leave without playing Baba Yetu, right? From Civilization IV, composed by the wonderful Christopher Tin. An absolute obvious choice, and we can't leave without playing it, so let's take a listen to it. Here we go. That piece never gets old. I always enjoy listening to Baba Yetu from Civilization IV, composed by Christopher Tin. Such a gorgeous piece of music.
It always reminds me of like The Lion King or something.
I think that's specifically one of the things that a lot of them were going for when they I think I remember I was reading about it either when they asked him to write it or I think that was a very specific choice,
right.
I believe.
Well, it's something that's so great about a lot of I think choral music in the 21st century where there's a lot of like trying to sound like African music.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
which
just this
is a
piece
good
it's like
thing, I think.
All over the place. Yeah, which is so great. I mean, a lot of that African music is like so catchy and so such like there's all this beautiful kind of positive sunshiny harmony.
Yeah.
And
it's hard to beat that
it's
piece
perfect
of music.
For the whole choral idiom and you know I love its context in something like this. To me, I think it could be viewed as a little bit cheesy, but there's something so optimistic and wonderful about it. It's very sort of cosmopolitan
down.
For a game called Civilization.
Yeah, I mean, I think you bring up a good point, Will. First time I heard it, I think I had some of those feelings of like, oh, is this kind of cheesy? But you really can't hold a piece of music this good down.
The melodies and
the harmonies are so beautiful that no matter who you are, no matter how cool or whatever, maybe how jaded you are, it's hard to listen to this and not really just respond to it in a positive way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the context also sort of helps for something like this.
Yep.
Just kind of thinking about, you know, the game is called Civilization, and I think the music, to me, it's sort of like, I don't know, a celebration of just
humanity.
Not just one culture, but humanity in general.
It's perfect.
That's
it's,
really what like the piece is about. And
I couldn't ask for a better theme for
humanity.
Yeah, and
a perfect end to this wonderful episode. I mean, talk about an appreciation and celebration of humanity. I mean,
we
really went all over the place.
We did.
Today.
We have one more to play here for the day. This is Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War. Little redundant if you ask me. Once again composed by Jeremy Soule. This is Space Marines theme. Guys, thanks so much for joining us as we explore the music of RTS games. Thanks, Stuart, for your suggestion and for your support. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode, as well as all of you. Yeah, Will was saying before we played this one, we kind of explored all aspects of humanity in this episode. What an interesting adventure and journey this episode has been.
Yeah, I mean, I like to think, you know, Carl and I come back from our vacation and we're more worldly and wise fellows, you know?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I had a wonderful
time.
We
hope you guys missed us. You know, it's not often that we take a week off on this show. Mm-hmm. And we'd been, you know, trying to prepare for it. We had to record
for
multiple
us,
episodes in the same week.
It was actually 2 weeks. That's because we had to stockpile the last two normal episodes.
Yeah. Right? And we were hopefully going to try to find a way to not have to sort of skip beat for you guys, but... But it looks like you guys enjoyed the Mercado Radio, so I guess you won't be needing us anymore. We're happy to know that.
Will gets all self-conscious. All right, guys, we're going to play you out with another track from the wonderful Stronghold. It's Sad Time, so a little bit of a sad playout track. Once again, composed by Robert Uvino. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Peace out. Thank you.